the 23rd Psalm. We'll begin reading in verse 1 down through verse number 6. Our emphasis is the last phrase of verse 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I heard of a little custom in Bible days. When you went to visit someone for a meal, and of course you started off with a full cup to begin with. Ate the meal, drank what was in the cup down so far, and they would come back and fill it full again. As often as you would drink it down, they would come back and fill it back to the brim for as long as they wanted you to be there. But the sign that the parting time had come is when you drank it down, they'd only come back and fill it half full. That's a polite way of saying, go home. I wish we had that custom. But did you know that, notice David said, my cup, and we could put the word continually runneth over. He never gets tired of us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Notice this last phrase, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever it is that is contained in this 23rd Psalm in verse 1 down through verse number 6, I believe we can say that the great aim and goal, desire and purpose of the shepherd is one. And that is, he is going to take the sheep to the house. The shepherd is always headed toward the house. He's always going home. And he is always taking the sheep with him. I'm made even more aware of that in Luke chapter number 15, verse 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And the next phrase said, and when he cometh home. The shepherd is taking the sheep to the house. And if I am correct, and I believe I am, about this psalm, I guess we could say that this psalm is not just about not wanting, and I'm glad that David said, I shall not want. But it's about not wanting as we journey home. This psalm is not just about tender green grass. Thank God for the tender green grass along life's journey. But to add a great plus to it, it is about tender green grass as we go to the house. This psalm is not just about still waters, though that's grand and glorious, but it's about still waters as we journey home. This psalm is not just about restoration, and thank God that He restores us, but it's about restoration as we move toward our final goal. This psalm is not just about paths of righteousness, but it's about paths of righteousness that lead us to heaven. This psalm is not just about walking through a valley, but it's about walking through a valley as we go to the house. I remember a man in the church that I pastored in North Carolina. He had been raised much like myself. Never had a lot. Had an abusive mother. His father died while he was young. And through a chain of events, as he got older, he married and moved off, but he got saved and loves the Lord. An aunt in North Carolina who was pretty well off, had no children, became very close to him, and when she passed away, she left him everything. He moved back to North Carolina and joined the church where I pastored. I had not known him previously. There was a church next door to the house that his aunt left him, and they wanted to buy the house to clear the property and make parking space. So he went out and sought another house, a very nice house. I volunteered to go help him move the heavier stuff like the refrigerator, the washer, the dryer. And so I went down, me and some other men in the church, and we were loading up. And I was joking with him. I said to him, "Brother Harold, heaven's not going to mean as much to you as it does me." He knew what I was talking about. He turned around, and I'll never forget the look on his face, and tears were already streaming down his face just like that. And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, all this and heaven too." Oh, I want to say to you, the journey's not half bad. The still waters and the green grass and the restoring of the soul and the paths of righteousness and the table prepared before the presence, that's not half bad, but honey, that's not half of it. As I preached yesterday morning, if you're happy here, just think what it's going to be like when you get there. If you're happy with what God's given you here and along the journey here, just think what it's going to be like when you get home with the shepherd. We are not endlessly roaming some terrain. We are not aimlessly wandering in circles, nor are we rambling in a desert. We are headed somewhere, children of God. We are going home. The sheep are going home with the shepherd, and thank God all the sheep are going home. There won't be 99 sheep when we get there. I believe with all my heart there's going to be 100. All the sheep are going to make it. Someone would say, "But preacher, what if they don't make it?" Well, I've thought about a few scenarios in which maybe some would suppose they couldn't make it. I understand that the psalmists tell us that sheep stray. Isaiah said, "All we like sheep are gone astray." But if I understand Luke chapter number 15, you can't stray so far the shepherd can't find you. And he's willing to go the distance to get you. There's going to be no sad reports in heaven. I just couldn't find that one. Not from my shepherd. Not only straying, I understand that there are thieves that break through and sometimes steal the shepherd's sheep. But you see, the problem there is my shepherd never slumbers or sleeps. Who's going to sneak up on him? In the Old Testament, there were those shepherds that sometimes sold their sheep to make a profit or because of need. But I find nowhere in Scripture where my shepherds ever had to sell anything. God's never gotten hard up to where He had to barter nor bargain. He don't have anything for sale. Not one of His sheep can be bought. And then I do know there's occasions where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob offered some of their sheep as a sacrifice, but Hebrews tells me that my shepherd was the final sacrifice. There won't be no sacrificing. There won't be no selling. There won't be no stealing. There won't be no straying. Looks to me like we're going to make it home. The sheep are going to the house. They're all going to the house. But I want you to notice with me, I'm interested in what I call the activations of the journey home. We're going home. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for it. If I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. We're going to the house. Thank God. But I want you to notice that in this 23rd Psalm, there is some action. There is some activity. In other words, if the sheep make it from verse 1 down to verse number 6, they're not going to make it home by the waving of some wand. But they're going to make it because they coupled up with the shepherd and started on a journey toward home. There was some action that was started. Some activation. I understand when we see the paintings of the shepherd and the sheep, it seems so calm and so serene on the Judean hillside. It's almost like it's lifeless. It's almost like that there's not a lot happening, like it's doldrums. But really, there's a lot going on there if you're going to get them sheep going. There's a lot of activation that is in this text, and I want to point them out. Well, let's just look down through here at the action, the activations, the movement toward home. Sheep are moving toward home. The shepherd is leading them toward home. We are headed in that direction, and we know that we're going to go there because we are headed in that direction. One preacher preached a sermon. He said, "I know that I'm not going to hell, and the reason why I know is I'm not headed in that direction. I know that I'm a shepherd, a sheep, and I know the Lord is my shepherd, and I know I'm going home with him. Why? Because 34 years ago, I started in that direction. And it ain't just that I started in that direction. I'm still moving in that direction. I'm headed somewhere. I'm in those paths of righteousness that are pulling me in that direction." Look at the movement that is in here. Look in verse number 2. "He maketh me." There's a movement. There's an activity. "He leadeth me." There is a motion. "He restoreth my soul." There's a happening. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." There's an action. "Yea, though I walk," there is a stirring. "Thou preparest a table before me." There's a movement. "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." Something's happening all along the way. There's some movement. This thing is not lifeless. It's not dead. It's not just a made-up thing. It's not a painting. There's something happening. I want to say to you, I'm not just playing religion tonight. There's something working on the inside of this old boy, and I'm making some progress. I'm going to the house. Going to the house. Now, let's look at the movement that is in this text. I'm talking about the motion, the activity. Let's look at the motion in it. I would point out to you, first of all, that in our journey home, in the 23rd Psalm, in our journey to the shepherd's house, I notice, first of all, there is a motion here that we may not care a whole lot about, but it is very important. I call it slow motion. I never did like slow motion in pastoring. I like things to be on the upbeat and passionate. I like the offering to jump up, and I like the attendance to jump up, and I like the folks to jump up. I like things to be buzzing, don't you? I don't like slow motion. Have you ever felt like nothing was happening in your life, and you even stated it? You said it's just like I'm standing still. It seems like I'm not making any progress with the Lord, and it seems like I'm going nowhere. Have you ever felt that way? Slow motion. Well, it's in our text here. He said in verse number 2, and by the way, this motion is not a wasted motion, and it's not a dead motion. He said in verse number 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's not dead. He's not lifeless. He's just laying down. God is causing him to rest and to be still for the more treacherous journeys that are ahead. So he has him in the slow motion. She says he didn't volunteer to lay down. He maketh me to lie down. God knows that there are those times in all of our lives when we need to be still, but we don't want to be still, so he has to make us be still with whatever measure that he makes us. He wants a slow motion, be still and know that I am God. Not dead. He's still got a pulse. That heart's still beating. That blood's still flowing. Things are happening. There's still emotion going on there. It's just a slow motion. Slow motion. About 10 years ago, I had to have surgery on my back. I used to think, when I'd visit the hospital, you know, I pastored at that time, I preached meetings, and I painted houses, and I thought, Lord, I sometimes think I'd like to just lay down the bed for a day or two. He said, okay, I'll give you a try at it. Had my back operated on, and the doctor said, I tell you, this is what you need to do, and I didn't want to go through that pain anymore, so I decided I'd do what the doc said do. He said, I don't want you to ride in a car if you're going home for 2 weeks. Oh, I'm going to tell you, sitting around that house for 2 weeks is misery. Yeah. I had a man in my church. I called him up. I said, listen, this is the day that the doctor said I could ride around. I want you in my parking lot on that day. And I got in the car and I rode around. Boy, did I enjoy the scenery more. Yeah. I noticed things that I hadn't noticed in a while. He said, I don't want you to drive for 6 weeks. And so I waited patiently, agonizing, being still for the 6 weeks. And as soon as the day was up, I got in the car and I drove. How delightful it was. Many other activities. But for me, for those 2 weeks, it was a slow motion. There are times in your life when you'd like to move on, when you'd like to get beyond where you're at, when you'd like to get out of the situation you're in, and you're tired of the surroundings, and you're saying, God, why don't you just get me beyond this? But he's got it in a slow motion. And then he goes on to say, not only does he make me to lie down in green pastures, but he leadeth me beside still waters. He did not say stagnated waters. He said still waters, which means water is slowly seeping in and water is slowly seeping out. But nonetheless, there is emotion there. It is a slow motion, a gradual motion. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. He just doesn't have to get in a hurry. But there are times when He doesn't want you to get in a hurry either. And it may be those times when it seems as though that there's certain things in your life, maybe something going on in your life, something going on in the job, something going on in your children's lives, and boy, you just want to get this thing over with and get beyond that. But it seems like it's just a slow motion. But it's a motion. You're still headed. You're still going. It's just slow. It's a slow motion. Slow. Well, also, I notice in my text that there is a secret motion. A motion that the sheep are unaware of, but it's happening all around them. As the sheep journey with the shepherd toward home on a certain day, little did they know, or do they know, that out over the ocean, not far away, God is causing the sun to shine upon the seas, and an evaporation and the forming of clouds, and then a little breeze will get behind it and blow it in their direction, and the rain begins to fall on the behalf of the sheep. It's a secret motion. They didn't see it all come together, but it came together on their behalf. I know, some of you will argue this point. I've had it argued before. You think you can see grass grow, but you can't. You only see it after it has grown. And all around these sheep, grass is growing, and out beyond them, grass is growing, and the shepherd is leading them to fields where grass has been growing day and night. But they didn't know it was growing. They only partook of it after it was grown. It was a secret motion. God was doing something on their behalf when they were asleep, when they didn't even know it. It was growing. Can I say to you, the majority of the motion on your behalf, you're not even aware of. God is doing so much that you cannot even see that He's doing it for you. It is a secret motion, unseen by the sheep. Only God knows how many times He's kept me from getting at a certain spot of a certain time when I would have run headlong into some other automobile. Well, God knows the arrangements that He's laid out before me and the things that He has set up before me all the way back even to my salvation that I was not aware of. It was a secret, unseen motion. But it was a motion. It was taking place. I'm talking about the motion of this journey home. Not only is it a slow motion, not only is it a secret motion. But at times there is some substantial motion. In verse number 4, he's picked up speed. He said, "Yea, though I walk, that's better than laying down." I mean, he's going. And he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he's not fearing any evil. It seems as though that there is some spiritual advancement. He's moving at some great progress. There is some substantial movement. Thank God for those times when you can feel things moving in you, and you can feel the progress of moving on, and you can see others moving. You can see some growth. And you're happy about that. And your ladies go out and plant the flowers in your flower garden, and you patiently wait. But it is so wonderful to go out and see when that rose has blossomed, and you're so thrilled that it has, because you can see some change and some evidence that God is doing something in your life. That is a substantial motion. I love to see it in the lives of Christians, don't you? Not only in my own life. I like to see the substantial motion. And I must be honest with you also, when I think about the motion, the movement, the activity of the 23rd Psalm as the sheep head toward home, not only is there the slow motion and the secret motion and the substantial motion, but there is some sinister motion. You're not the only one moving. And the shepherd's not the only one moving. He said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my what? Enemies." Boy, you got those wolves up there in the bushes. You got those bears that David had to contend with. You got those lions. And Jesus prayed. He said, Simon, I've prayed for you. Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, honey. I'll tell you, there's some sinister motion in this old world that if it had its way, it struck out the life of every chief and stopped the journey home. Sinister motion. Somebody's out to get you. But you know, it leaped out at me one day when I thought about the motion that is in this text. Not only these motions that I've mentioned, the slow motion and the secret motion and the substantial motion and the sinister motion, but you know, I began to read in the encyclopedia about a solar motion. Now this thrilled me. Did you know tonight that while you are sitting still in this building, that the earth is spinning on its axis? It spins almost 26,000 miles every day to make a complete rotation. The earth is almost 26,000 miles around, and it has to go the whole spin to get you back to where you are today, time-wise. And to do that, did you know that for the earth to spin on its axis 26,000 miles in one day, that you are traveling almost 1,100 miles an hour while you're sitting there? Did you know that? It's amazing, ain't it? But that ain't nothing. Did you know that the earth revolves around the sun? And the circumference around that sun is 565 million miles around that sun. And this earth travels around that sun once every year, every 365 days or so. It goes all the way around that sun. It travels 565 million miles. I read this in the encyclopedia the other day. It thrilled me. You know how fast the earth is traveling? 66,000 miles an hour! That's moving on. And I don't feel a breeze. You say, preacher, I feel like traveling on, honey. You are traveling on. While that sheep's laying there and drinking out of that still water, it's traveling 66,000 miles an hour. So that while you may be laying in a bed the whole year, God Almighty took you another year close to home. You said, I didn't go anywhere, didn't do much today. Oh, yes, you did. You traveled 1,100 miles an hour, and you're another day close to home. God's got this thing in high gear. You may not be doing much, but He's got it in high motion. Oh, I guess you can't spin as fast as that thing's spinning. I was amazing. 66,000 miles an hour. I'm traveling. And I'm just taking a step at a time. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of the speed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's getting us there. A year at a time, a day at a time. No matter what the progress seems in your life, no matter how slow it may seem, He's moving us home. Quickly. I'm talking about motion. There's some pretty good motion in that. My goodness sake, slow motion, secret motion, sinister motion, substantial motion, and there's solar motion. I don't know if I ought to tell you about that other motion or not. Did you know that our solar system moves around in the Milky Way I'm talking about our sun, our earth, our moon, and our stars, and there are many of them. But just our one, our solar system, they tell us, moves around in a circle inside the Milky Way at 55,800 miles an hour. You're moving at 3 speeds when you're sitting still. You think about that. God's got this thing. Don't worry about it. He'll get us there. But you know, when I think about these motions that are in here that I've mentioned, to sum it all up, when I think about the slow motion and the solar motion, the secret motion, the sinister motion, the substantial motion, you know really whose motion that is? It's the shepherd's motion. Now, hold on. Who did David say was his shepherd? Who? Well, that's a pretty big claim, ain't it? Well, I want to ask you another question. David said the Lord was his shepherd. Who is it that made the rain, the clouds, the water? Come on, somebody tell me, who made it? Oh, wait a minute, Dave. You mean to tell me that your shepherd is the same one that made the water? He said, sure is. That's why I ain't worried about going home. Isn't that amazing? Let me ask you another question. Who is it that makes, who made the earth, the grass and the flowers and the trees? Who made all of that? Somebody tell me. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. But the same Lord that is my shepherd is the same one that makes the water that I drink and the grass that is growing. As a matter of fact, if you read this 23rd Psalm just right, you'll find out that there is everything's moving in that text. This it's like a beehive in there. Everything is turning and moving. The whole text is moving, vibrating with energy. Where did it all come from? I'll tell you where it all came from, where all motion comes from. In Him we live and move and have our being. I'll tell you, before the foundation of the world, God Almighty willed that this world be. And so He spoke it into existence and He set everything in motion. There is no energy that exists that did not come from God. He started the ball rolling and He keeps it going. He holds it together. What is it that keeps this earth from shooting out into space? God holds it in gravity. He started all of this motion. He put the sun up there to shine and He created the evaporation for the rain. He created the great oceans and He made all the herbs and the trees and things like that. But the question is, why did He do that? All things are moving in this text. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 said, and we know, first seven words, we know that all things work. God's put everything to working. Motion. Everything is working. But my question is, why is it working? Why did the Lord make the water that we find in verse number 2? Is it because that He loves bubbling brooks and streams? Why is the water in this psalm? Why is the water in verse number 2? Why did He put the water there? Can I give you a clue? He's bringing His sheep through there. He's taking them to the house. They've got to have water. So the shepherd, before the sheep ever got there, started raining way back in eternity. He set this thing in motion. He said, we got to have this thing as rain. I'm having sheep. I'm going to bring some sheep through this thing. And he said, rain fall and stream flow. And then he said, come on, sheep. I got you some water now. Why is that grass growing in there? Is it because God is a botanist and He loves plant life? Could I suggest to you that the only reason why there is grass in this text in verse number 2 is because of the sheep? Every blade of grass that is in that text is in that text for one reason. The shepherd. Long in eternity past, in his mind, I said, I'm going to create a world. And in that world, he said, I want grass. And I want grass to grow, because the reason why I want grass to grow as a shepherd, I'm going to bring sheep through that. And they're going to have grass. So he said, grass, grow. And then he said, sheep, come on. I not only got you some water, I got you some grass. And it's growing. All in motion. Why is that sun hanging out there? Why does that wind blow? Why is all of this movement in the 23rd Psalm? I'm trying to emphasize to you your importance, child of God. The only reason why the shepherd would cause all of this and set it in motion is because he had some sheep that he's bringing through there. And he ain't taking no chances. He's setting it all up. So when he brings the sheep through, everything is just like he wants it. There won't be any mistake. It's set just like it happened. He is the shepherd. It's the shepherd's motion. The Isle of God. And I say to you tonight, this thrills my heart and my soul, that everything and anything that you can see or know about all of God's creation was made for one reason. It was so He could plant a tree on a hill outside of Calvary. He could die there for the sins of mankind, and He could save you. God made a whole world and everything in it just for you. Isn't that amazing? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. All things are working. All things are moving. All things are in here. But the reason why everything exists in here is because the shepherd put it in here, because he is using it to get the sheep home. Somebody said, yeah, but what about the sinister motion, those wolves up there? Well, don't tell the devil. But the only reason why God made wolves is to nip at the heels of the sheep and drive them close to the shepherd. If the wolf had any sense, if the devil had any sense, he'd leave us alone. All he's doing is causing us to run to the shepherd. He's setting us in motion, stirring us up, heading us toward home, drawing us to the shepherd. All of this motion. Now, I don't understand it, man. I don't understand why God Almighty would make all of this just so He could save me. But He did. Is that dawning on you? That God Almighty would make the galaxies and the solar systems and the universes and make a sun and a moon and the stars and the earth, and He would set it all in motion, traveling 1,000 miles an hour one way, and traveling 66,000 another way, and 55,800 miles an hour another way, and He would put everything that is in, He would put it all there. And the only reason I could think of that God made everything was for me. He didn't just want a world. He didn't just want a United States.
he wanted me.
What else does a shepherd want? He'd come after his sheep. He set it all together, put everything in motion. Everything's moving. And he said, now, sheep, I've got it ready. Come on. We're going to move with it. Go right on through here. Everything's moving. Now, I told you, I don't understand it. But I know it's so. I mentioned yesterday some about my raising. But I've been asked questions about it. If my birth certificate is right, I'm the last of 11 children. Two died as babies. Nine of us were raised. But I'm the last of 11. And if my birth certificate is right, you can ask my wife, my mother is 30 years old when I'm born. And there ain't no twins. And from what I can tell, talking to those who knew the situation, my mom and dad never did like each other. That don't make sense, does it? A couple of occasions he tried to kill her, and a couple of occasions she tried to kill him. Finally, she just had to leave, and that's what I understand. That's the reason why, well, somebody's going to kill somebody. So she had to leave. And, of course, my dad never remarried and drank all of his life. And I was raised in that environment, the worst of any kind of, you know. But somebody would ask the question, why do two people get together that don't even like each other? Of course, that happens a lot. And I guess you could kind of understand that they'd make a mistake and have one young and then figure out they didn't like each other. Maybe they'd have two. But three? Looks like you'd stop at four, come to your senses, listen, you don't like each other, you're done trying to kill each other. Well, you're going to four times. Did you hear the Williams has had six, seven, eight, nine? Did you hear? I heard that Williams woman is expecting her 10th child. You know what they're going through down there. And I know the whole community said, that's crazy. And I've had people ask me some time after that. They said, well, preacher, why in the world did they have 11 yet? Do you know why they didn't stop at 10? Can I give you a clue? Oh, I'm sure she wanted to come down after number 10. And the Lord said, little lady, you've got to have one more. Because number 11 is mine. And I'm going to call him the praise and send him out with a gospel. Somebody said there ain't nothing good gonna come out of that. They're all down there. Where you down there now? God's a moving down there. There's some pain and no motion gonna come out of that. He said, I got our shoes gonna be born right in the middle of that. I'm gonna bring him out and take him home. That's all that motion about down there at them Williams. God's just trying to get a preacher. You don't believe that? I feel sorry for you. I want you to know I wasn't no mistake. I wasn't no asshole with cop. God had me in mind. He set the whole world in motion so he could get away. Come on, son. Don't worry about what's around you. I'm taking you through here. He set things in motion. And I've been a following him. 34 years. Huh? All things work. All that water's flowing. All that grass is growing. All that sun is shining. Everything there. It's one purpose. He said, I got 100 sheep. They got to have water and grass. They got to have an earth and the sun and the moon. They got to have a whole big world. I'm making a whole big world for 100 sheep. I'm here to tell you, if I was the only sheep, he'd have made the 5 billion people that are on this earth, every nation, every country, every world, and set everything in motion. is to come get me. He did it for you. When you look at that sun out there, don't you look at that sun like it's some big something that you don't know, honey. God put that sun out there for you personally. Don't make me a little world. Let my son die in it. Save him. Now I'm going to take him through there. Made it all. All things work according to His purpose, Ephesians said. Let me throw something else at you, and I'll quit. Did you know about 100 years ago, now some of you fellas get offended at this, but I'll straighten out. Did you know about 100 years ago that the Lord told a fellow by the name of Ford, said, I want you to make an automobile. Somebody said he told Chevrolet to make one too in case that broke down. Now that's up to you. You can debate that issue. I'm just trying to balance it out a little bit. I'm sticking with the Ford now, I'm telling you. The reason why is the Lord gave it to me. If He'd have given me a Chevrolet, I'd have stuck with that. But I mean, the support is getting me. It was free. You want me to use Chevrolet? Give me a free one. I'll punt it for you every now and then. He said, Ford, I want you here. Make me a vehicle. And then he said, I want you to hire you some fellas, inventors and stuff, and I want you to improve it. I'll tell you what I want you to get to. I want you to get to where it'll have air conditioning and heating and a sunroof. I know you don't know what that is right now, but you'll get to it. Sunroof. And it'll have a stereo system that you wouldn't believe, a CD player, tape player. And if you will, just throw an Itchy Eddie Bauer right on the side of it. He said, because about 100 years from now, I'm going to have a young man, I'm going to call him to preach, send him across the country to preach the gospel. I want him to go in style. Get it ready! You believe that?
Yes, sir.
He got it ready, and the Lord said, now there's your car. Drive it. He said all things work for me and you. Oh, children, listen. You're not a secondary thing in the mind of God. He's got motion happening and taking place on your behalf because He's made up His mind we're going to the house. In motion. Did you ever think about the motion and the expenditure of energy that it took to get you saved?